I think every good partnership begins with humility. And if you feel like one of the team on the partnership is not humble, but you are the humble one, then you need to show more humility to encourage their humility. I did so much stuff to try and win my wife's heart. The thing that I found that surpassed all of those things that I did in the past 10 years of marriage, that was more powerful than all the awards, all the hundreds of thousands of dollars I made, was the day I said, Andrea, let's get on our knees and pray.
Welcome to the Andrea Engstrom Show for Bold Women in Business. We are passionate about helping you break through to your next level of abundance, success, and freedom so that you can create the life you desire and inspire others to do the same. I'm your host, Andrea Engstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Brenda Stroud. Hey, Brenda.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey. And as if you're watching this on camera on the YouTube channel, you can see my guest today is sitting right in the same room as me. This is my husband, Josiah Engstrom.
Hi, everybody.
One of my favorite people, too. I love Josiah.
Yes, I love it. You always call Josiah, because we call each other sisters. And so yes. You call Josiah your brother.
My brother-in-law. It's my brother-in-law. The one thing, Andrea and I have been working together and have known each other now almost 5 years. And I've always been intrigued by her. And then when I met Josiah, and seeing them work together, it's so amazing to see. So I am so glad that you guys are both here today to share your story and your experience with everyone that's watching. I know you guys have been married for a long time. So let's kind of, can you share with us how long, not only have you been in partnership and marriage, but also in partnership and business and how that plays together?
Yeah, we've been married 16 years. We got married in 2009. And we've been in business together for about 15 of those 16 years.
Wow.
There was only a very short period of our marriage where I was a mechanic. And then as I was a mechanic, I was called to be a filmmaker and ran that for 10 years or so. And then I've been in real estate with Andrea for the last five.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, when we first got together, one of the first things we did was we bought a fixer upper.
Mm-hmm.
And we were both working day jobs at that time, making very little money in the day jobs, but we would work our jobs. And then after hours, we spent about 40 hours a week renovating a home that we had bought for
69 or something.
Yeah. No, I think we bought that first house for like $70,000 and boy, it was a fixer upper. And I remember working on that house together for 40 hours a week, blood, sweat, and tears. And thinking like, if we can do this together, like we can do anything.
Yeah.
I knew that we could work together based on that experience and like just getting our first house together livable.
Yeah. Now, was that before you decided to make the investment into real estate coaching? Not coaching, a mentorship. So that was prior to that.
Yeah. That was like the first year of our marriage. We bought a fixer upper and we weren't like intending to be real estate investors. It was like what we could afford.
Yeah. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I was working at a United Rentals, working on heavy equipment all day. And then I'd come home in my coveralls and get on my hands and knees and sand floors. And I'd never sanded floors before. I'd never ripped a cabinet out of a house, never hung a cabinet in a house. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was like, this is what we're doing. I got this hot babe of a wife and she wants to live in this turd of a house. I better make this thing better. And she was game to come to work with me. She'd work her day job. I work my day job and we come home to this junky old house and we'd fix it up together. And we had our friends come over and her sister and all kinds of people would bring a crock pot of chili for us to just keep working. And I said, when I saw her working with me again, for me, I was like, this is confirmation.
Yeah.
That this is in fact my dream girl for sure.
Okay. Well, you know, it sounds like what you're describing, even from the very onset of the first property that you did, what, 1 or 2 years into your marriage, is that she shared with you that she had the buy-in or just based off of her commitment or that she was committed to doing it and you saw that. How important is it for, you know, partners or spouses to see that when they're trying to go into any type of endeavor, whether it's business or personal? How important is that for you guys?
You know, I think it's so important. And actually, I'll take it even before this, that it was confirmation that she was the right one for me. And it was another action she took that showed a lot to me. So when we decided we were going to get married when we were still dating, her parents lived in Colorado and we lived in Topeka, Kansas. And it's about an 8 or 9 hour drive to get there. And I had this little $900, you know, Ford Ranger at the time with a stick shift. And that was the most, and her mom had already asked me to bring furniture from Topeka to Colorado. That's the type of lady she is. And I was like, well, I want to go to Colorado to ask your dad for your hand in marriage.
Yeah.
And she was like, okay, let's go. And I was like, okay, we're both broke. How are we going to do this?
Yeah.
He's like, and she said, it's cool. We're going to make peanut butter jelly sandwiches and we'll pull over on the side of the road halfway there and we'll eat and we'll be fine. We'll just make it as cheap as possible. And I, again, it was like God said that to me. It was like, yeah, God just spoke in that moment. I was like, this is the woman for me, because she is bougie, but she's also game to eat PBJ on the side of I-70 to make it to Colorado.
And so, like, girl.
Before we were even married, I had confirmation that this girl is game. Like, she's always game to grind it out, to get what we need to get, to do what we need to do. And so early on, she set the stage.
Mm-hmm. You remember when Brenda, we had just been dating for like 4 weeks. And I remember like the first weekend we met, he looks at me and he says, I think I'm looking at my wife. And I'm like, oh,
wow.
And
anyone ever said that to you before?
He locked
it down.
But 4 weeks after we started dating, we went to a friend of mine. She was getting married. We went to that wedding together. And then we hopped on his motorcycle and we drove all over town to every pawn shop in town looking for an engagement ring. Cause he's I know you're who I want to marry. And we were both broke at the time. And so I'm like, well, let's go on a treasure hunt. Like, I don't need fancy things, but like, so I hopped on the back of his motorcycle.
It was a chopper with ape hangers. So my arms
All right.
Not just a motorcycle. This is a chopper.
Yeah. And we cruised around to every pawn shop in town and we found a wedding ring.
$169.
It was beautiful. It was, you know, somebody had died, whatever. And it was like, and so we found this beautiful, like we found this beautiful little ring and we got it. But it was like, we, I think together had this commitment that we are going to make it work,
yeah,
whatever that looks like, that we don't need it to be perfect or fancy or, you know, whatever it takes to like be together and do the things that we want to do, we're just going to figure it out. And yeah, so from the very beginning, like that's how we've been in our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, which I think is awesome. But unfortunately it's not everyone's story to be so locked in from the very beginning of their relationship. So if there's someone is listening and that's not their story, what advice or would you give them in order to kind of guide them to that particular place, or if it's possible to get to that place? That.
Well, I mean, I'll just jump in here. I think every good partnership begins with humility. Mm. And if you feel like one of the team on the partnership is not humble, but you are the humble one, then you need to show more humility to encourage their humility. Because I feel like if you're not going into anything with humility, then it just becomes sort of a boxing match of my ego versus your ego and who's going to win based on who has the better argument. And that's not how you create a good partnership. It's not how you defeat the other one's idea. It's how do we come together on something? Mm-hmm. And so that, I mean, if I were to break it down to its most foundational basis is humility, and humility comes from both. And one person's humility can lead another person's humility. And the way that could act out, you know, I preach almost everything I talk about nowadays. So just be prepared for that. But mm-hmm. The thing, you know, I said this to a friend of mine recently, who's looking to get married and or is married, and he was just asking about my relationship with my wife. And I just said, you know, I did so much stuff to try and win my wife's heart. Even 10 years into marriage, I found myself still trying to reach accolades and get awards and to do incredible things in hopes to make her eyes twinkle still.
Yeah.
And it was all just based on my works. But the thing that I found that surpassed all of those things that I did in the past 10 years of marriage, that was more powerful than all the awards, all the hundreds of thousands of dollars I made, all of the, I have over 100 film awards for the company I built. The thing that meant more to her than all of that was the day I said, Andrea, let's get on our knees and pray.
Mm.
Like that was the thing where her respect for me just went whoop.
Yeah.
And it was like, none of this stuff was worth it. All I need to do is say, I don't have the power. We both need to seek a higher power to do what we need to do as a couple.
Yeah.
And it's not based on me or her. And so if I can encourage anybody on the first step of humility is your own personal humility, is asking God the Father to come in where you are short. Mm-hmm. And that can really lead everything.
That's powerful. That's powerful. How did you feel at that time, Andrea, when that happened? Did you see a shift?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, because, you know, part of our story, part of our journey is, you know, we got sober together about mm-hmm. 5 years ago. And there was a long period in our life where together where we were operating from our own power, mm-hmm. operating from our ego. Mm. On, you know, it started out this beautiful, like schmoopy story. And then we started working together and enjoyed working together and then started building things together. And it felt like the more responsibility that we got or that we created, because we started building up this business with his film production company, and he had a team and I had an ad agency and I had a team, and we worked together and, but we just we created more and more responsibility and felt like we were leaning, like the weight became really heavy and we were trying to do it in our own power.
Right.
And coping mechanisms, like started drinking more to, you know, to feel better about the pressure and to, and about the challenges that we were having in our relationship also. And so, his leadership when, cause first, the first big step of leadership, I would say in that situation was that he said, I'm getting sober. Mm. You know, you can stay here and be drunk or you can come with me. And I said, I'm coming with you. Okay. And we've learned that anything that we do together, we can be successful with it if we're on the same page.
God,
if we do it together and we ask God to guide and to bless it, and he's given direction, then we can succeed in anything that we pursue if God is in it and we're on the same page together. But that, after being sober for a couple of years, Josiah really reconnected with his relationship with God, with one true God, and got into the Word. And when he asked me to start praying with him, like, I don't know about you girls, but like, what is hotter than that?
I'm with you there.
Oh yeah. Like, no, but just to, like, for me there to see the, and not just like a praying with me, but also like a, let's get on our knees together.
Yeah.
To see a partner that is that committed to seeking God and what God has for us,
mm-hmm.
and to lead me in that way.
Mm-hmm.
That for me, I felt like there were the big shift that happened there was like, was in part like allowing me to be in feminine energy in our relationship, to have my husband lead me spiritually and pray with me and pray for me and guide me to, and encourage me to, you know, pursue God at a deeper level.
Mm-hmm.
That I think was the thing that was like, for us like a big, it was a big turning point in our relationship.
I just want to encourage anyone watching who has a husband who has never done this with you, but you know, there was a previous time in their life where that would make sense. Like, oh yeah, they're a type of guy who prays, but now they've never done it. I just want you all to remember like the power that you have over your husbands. Like to this day, I will do anything to make my wife like me more. I will do anything to gain her respect. Yeah. And if you just tell me what the key to that respect is, I'm running towards it. But I think a lot of times as men, we're afraid and we don't even know what that thing is. So we keep grasping in all these other worldly things to gain that respect. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you right now, if Andrea would have said, Josiah, will you come with me into the bedroom? And will you get on your knees with me? And will you pray for me for confirmation for this? And so don't go into the bedroom and say, hey, will you come pray? Will you come sit next to me while I pray? Right. Say, hey, will you come in here and pray for me and for this specific thing? And we'll stumble through it. And that's the best ones. If you ask, God wants to hear that. Like God wants to hear you not knowing how to pray, because God just wants to have a relationship, right? Like he wants you to submit yourself to him and communicate. And this is what I teach my kids is, you know, God, when we talk about having a relationship with God, what's step number one of having a relationship? And I use the metaphor of our neighbors. We have neighbors all around us. And I'm like, why? My neighbor lives right across the street. I can see them. I know where they live. I know how to get to the door. I know how to knock, but I don't know them. Do I? Right. And then my kids are like, no. And I say, well, why do I not know them? Well, it's because I don't communicate with them. Mm-hmm. I don't go to the door. I don't knock. Definitely. I don't tell them who I am. I don't say hi. I don't let them get to know me. Right. Mm-hmm. So we have no relationship. So it's not about saying special words or being eloquent. It's about just having that communication open. And if God is for you, who can be against you? Okay. Right. And so if you are struggling with, is this the right thing? Am I going down the right road? And you haven't raised it up in prayer. I would really suggest you do that. Mm-hmm. And if you have like a lack of confidence, man, like God will give you everything you need. You just got to ask him. He's just waiting for you to ask. You know what I mean? And sometimes the confirmation is the confirmation that you're going down the wrong road. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's great. You know, like, and sometimes confirmation is conviction, and conviction is a blessing. Because God may say, hey, you need to clean this up. You need to get this out of your life. And that is a blessing. I'll tell you right now, I cleaned up a lot, like she was talking about with her sobriety. You know, I got sober from alcohol and still had some stuff hanging on that I was just strapped to me, just dragging along, just hanging on to this sin, right? And man, when God wiped that out, when God said, hey, I need you to get this out of your life, I got on my knees with her and we prayed over the stuff that was holding me down. It has been radical since then, like the stuff God has done. And it's not about finances, even though that has been part of it. Long before we ever got a check in the mail after that, I felt God's presence rise in my life. Mm-hmm. And that's undeniable. Like if you as his spouse, if God starts working in your life, if the Holy Spirit starts guiding all of your steps, there's nothing that your husband can do to ignore that.
Yeah.
He'll see that. Mm-hmm. And that will give him a light under his butt, because he's either got to ship up or shape up or ship out. Right. And he's probably not going to ship out. He's going to shape up. Right. And again, you can lead your husband in that. You know, if your husband doesn't have the confidence, give him the confidence.
Yeah.
Tell him that you have the confidence in him.
I love that you just said that, like that you have the confidence in him. Because, you know, when I met Josiah, when we actually met, you were working in a juvenile correction center, working nights, like a night shift. And it was like a really hard job that didn't pay very well. Mm-hmm. And I just remember from the day that I met you, he was funny. He was charming. Like he's a character. If you meet Josiah, he's a character, but I saw something in you that
I didn't see.
Yeah, but I saw your potential. Like I knew that, and you know, and I was like, he makes me laugh. That's like top of my list. You know, yeah. He's super cute. He's super funny. That's enough to get the
personality. Yeah.
Yeah, but I was like, wow, like he has capability that he doesn't even realize.
Yeah.
Like, and I think there's so much power in you as a wife giving your husband the confidence, like mm-hmm. your vote of confidence that he is capable of much and that you see greatness in him, even when he doesn't feel that way or maybe doesn't see it in himself. Even if you are with someone who's pretty darn awesome, when you lend him your vote of confidence that you got this, babe, like you can do this. Like, have you thought about doing this because you're capable, you know, to be a champion for your partner mm-hmm. in a way that like you speak life to them. Like, because I think in a lot of relationships, it's really easy. And we went through a period of like this as well, but where we tend towards criticism.
Yeah.
Or pointing out what's wrong with the person instead of pointing out what's right. Yeah. And then we get into these patterns of always like pointing out the wrong. Right there. Yeah. And it becomes ego. And then we wonder why our partner doesn't feel like super stoked when we're like, hey babe, I got this big idea to do something new. And they're like, yeah. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I definitely think it's important that you, for one, are in alignment with your partner and be able to kind of do a self-evaluation to see, are we aligned in these areas? Are we aligned in reference to who's going to take the lead, you know, as compared to who seems to be the dominant voice when you're talking about husband and wife? Because I think what we as women have to remember that we need to encourage our spouse. And like you said, don't come to the table with what you don't have. Start out with what you do.
Yeah.
Start there. Because you'll have those conversations where, like you said, they may start with criticism, and then they'll end it with, I love you. Like, that's not what you said before that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think being mindful of what you say and what you, because what you say becomes your reality. You know, I say that all the time, but being able to manifest that, you know, being able to kind of, like you said, pour into your spouse, it does go both ways, but I think it's more important for us as women to be mindful of that piece of encouraging. And, you know, when you see something that maybe they don't see, but it is there, how do you get to that? How do you speak to that without it coming across as something negative?
Well, I think you gotta work up to everything. I mean, especially mm-hmm. if we're talking about this, we don't know who we're talking about. Let's just say the person watching this has the husband who's disconnected from what she feels led to do. And it's mm-hmm. a big, big goal, right? And husband has never seen this wife reach a big goal or attempt to reach a big goal. And it's hard to see that work out. Like, mm-hmm. again, I think it starts with humility. Like you have to start a foundation of honesty through humility. And I'm going to go back to prayer. It starts with prayer. Get your husband on his knees praying with you. And then in that moment, be honest with God and say, God, I'm concerned that I don't have the power to do what you're asking me to do. Yeah. Please give me the strength. I don't know how to do this. How do I do this? And I need you to help me. I need you to lead me and guide me to figure out how to do this for our family. So
yeah.
when one person approaches humility, it will encourage the other one to speak with humility, to be honest and not have pride lead the show all the time. A lot of times we're too scared to admit what we don't know, what we don't understand as husbands. But man, you start praying. And if one of you starts praying with honesty mm-hmm. and starts taking down all the barriers, then you'll be blown away at what your husband will be willing to approach, because they're led by your humility and your ability to submit and say, I don't have the power. I need you to come in and help. So it starts there. Mm-hmm. That's where I would say it would start. And that there's no way you're going to be disrespectful and rude to God in that conversation, right? And when you start speaking to God, it starts to mirror your other conversations with your spouse. And for me, that was truly the foundation of everything that has been good in our relationship in the past 5 years is prayer. And it's so simple and so hard. You know what I mean? It's so easy, yet so difficult. But again, I just, I know I sound like a broken record here, but you know, I still go to AA meetings like once a month or so. And I'm a broken record there. I say the same thing is the day my life changed is the day I took up prayer. And the day I submitted myself to God, that's when everything changed. And so that's the same with your relationship with your spouse. Two are made one. You know, the Bible says that the church is the bride of Christ. So we are to treat our spouse as Christ treats the church, thinks of the church. Mm-hmm. And so like when you think of it that way, how do you think God would deal with his kids, with his children? Like how would God lead his church? Like, would he lead his church with arrogance and rude language and yelling and judgment? And no, read your Bible. You know what I mean? That's not how he does it. Right. And so my whole guidebook to being in a good relationship and a good business as a family is all foundationally based on a biblical foundation for sure. 100%. Go ahead. Sorry.
You mentioned 5 years ago, that's kind of when the shift came in reference to making the ultimate change in your life. Now, how you guys function together now, since you have committed yourself from that perspective, and how you functioned together previously, what are some of the differences, or what are some of the things that you used to do when you weren't as committed to your spiritual growth as compared to now? So maybe there's some people that are struggling with that, or maybe they don't even realize they still have that opportunity.
Well, I think back, if we were to go back into our previous business before real estate, it was very much about accolades, very much about can we get this much business in this amount of time? Can we win this account? Can we beat out our competitors? Can we like that? We're very results based. And it was results, results, results. And it was very on our own power as well. Like we didn't trust on anything but our own knowledge and our own skills. That's what where all of our trust lied during that time. And it brought superficial benefits. Like it brought tons of money and brought tons of turmoil. And it was this constant struggle of ego between both of us. And I don't know, it's not something I would ever want anyone else to go through, you know, but that being said, it's like a testimony now. It was a hard lesson learned, but back then it was just grind, 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 my own works, my own works, my own works. And we had no real spiritual connection to God or to Jesus at all. We just went to church every now and then, and we were just kind of hanging on to threads, you know, but we were drinking away all of our pain. We didn't lean on either one of us for support, really. We just leaned on each other's coping mechanisms, and we both started drinking together and became drinking buddies. And that was when things got hard, that the bottle was the answer. When we were stressed, the bottle was the answer. When we were fighting as a couple, the bottle was the answer. And that was terrible. It was just the worst time of my life. And after, you know, for me, it was about 4 years of me falling back into drinking. I had 15 years of sobriety before that. So I knew better. It's not like I accidentally fell into this. I knew when I was 18, I shouldn't have been doing this, but life got so heavy and hard that the only thing I knew to lean on was booze. And that was the easiest thing. The easiest solution was to hit a bottle.
Yeah.
And we hit our rock bottom. And when we hit our rock bottom, I led Andrea I said, I'm getting sober. I'm going to move in with your parents, with the kids. I want you to come with me. But if you're not going to come with me, you can stay here and drink, but I'm going to go get sober and I'm leaving this house to do so. Yeah. And this was after about a week of other people trying to come speak into her life to get her sober. Like we had coworkers go to her house. We had her mom go to our house. And I was asking other people in our lives to go lead her away from drinking. because I didn't have the confidence as her husband to make that step.
Yeah.
And eventually after about a week, I said, okay, I went to one of my coworkers just bawling my eyes out. And I said, what do I do? And she said, you guys both need to go to treatment. And I said, okay, I'm gonna go home tonight and I'm gonna tell her I'm gonna get sober and lay this out. And she didn't hesitate one bit. I mean, when I said, I'm doing this, are you coming with me? 100% yes. Mm. I mean, it was just yes. And then going through that process of getting sober led me to having to submit myself to a higher power. Right. And I remember not even knowing who my higher power was at that time. I ran so far away that, and I'd done so many things wrong that I was so confused. I was like, I don't even know who my higher power is. But I said, I got to do this. So I just started praying. And I said, God, I don't know who you are. I've forgotten who you are. At one time, I knew you as Jesus. Will you please reveal yourself to me? And he did. And it's Jesus. And through that, God will never give you more than you can handle. Because at that time, I had already gotten sober from alcohol, but I was not sober from everything. Mm. And God started just wringing my heart out of the stuff that he needed gone, just one by one. He's like, okay, get rid of this, get rid of this. That little intuition, the thing that we call intuition, or that funny feeling that we have, that's God's voice speaking to you. And he kept speaking to me and said, hey, get this out. Go apologize to this person. Forgive your brother. Forgive your dad. Forgive all the things. It was like, okay, you got this. Now do this. I'm gonna give you the power to do this. I'm gonna give you the power to do this. And it was like a whole long process that all trickles down to business, that all of that stuff that happens in your own personal life as a couple eventually will transition into you having a successful business. That's been my experience is once you submit to God and give him everything, he's going to bless you in ways you don't even understand. And a lot of times that's a business. Mm-hmm. And that's how it's been with us. And, I don't know if that answered your question or if I just went down like seven rabbit holes. But that's where I'm at.
Okay. I definitely appreciate you sharing it and even being vulnerable and sharing, you know, your story and your journey, because I think it's important for people to see who you really are, because what they tend to do is look at the surface. Oh, they look great. They look perfect. But, you know, and they don't really know the story. So being able to share that with other people probably, hopefully, is blessing someone else, is giving someone else an opportunity to say, hey, I can do that too. Hey, I'm there now. So I can look down the road and possibly be here if I just commit myself to change or trusting God. And so I think that's important for people to understand and see too, you being transparent about your journey.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Andrea, so what do you, you know, from the standpoint of what Josiah has shared, was it in that moment when Josiah said, this is what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. I want you to go with me. You have a choice. Mm-hmm. How pivotal was that for you and deciding to follow him at that point? Did you see a different shift in you following him towards sobriety and a different life?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because, you know, like Josiah said, there were other people that tried to talk to me about it. And right. I was like, I'm fine. Alcohol is my solution, not my problem.
Yeah.
And when he said that this is what I'm going to do, and you can stay here and do what you're doing, but we're not going to be here. Mm. It was like, I mean, for me, that was like, not even a question.
Yeah.
Not even a question. And it took my husband stepping in as the leader.
Right.
And to lead the way and to make the personal commitment for me to take that step. It was like something broke in my heart that was like, had been hard to it. And it was very immediate, but that was the hardest. I mean, that was one of the hardest weeks of my life for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think, I didn't realize how bad it was because I mean, I went through the, detox withdrawals. Like I had the shakes. It was, mm-hmm. it was pretty bad. So that was pivotal, but I think it also, there was something in me that broke, related to taking leadership from Josiah. Because I've always been a really strong personality. And I, you know, strong in my will, in my way. And I think I know best. And that was something that I think that moment, something in me broke related to that too, that, oh, I don't got this. I, you know, cause I'm always like, oh, I got this. I can handle, I can do this. I can take care of it. Like, and I just, that was the moment where I was like, I don't got this. I don't have it all figured out. I don't have all the answers, but I'm really grateful for someone to lead me in this moment. Cause I needed someone to kind of put, you know, put out a hand and say, let's, you know, come on, let's go, let's go. And that's been, I think, a shift in our relationship, not just that we got sober, but also in our, like how we work together. Like, I think since then I've taken leadership from him differently. And, you know, early in our relationship, one of the things that we discovered was that like, we have kind of a superpower together. We learned we can work well together when we flipped our first, when we renovated our first house. But we also, you know, we wrote down goals together. My dad's a business coach, and he was kind of giving us some coaching when we were first married, and you know, encouraging us to write down our dreams together. And I'm really grateful for that. But it was, I mean, but it was amazing how quickly we were able to accomplish things when we were on the same page.
Yeah.
And I think that that process, you know, it created kind of a sense of pride in us too. Like we became sort of prideful about it. Like, look what we can do. Look what we are capable of. We can do anything we put our minds to. And I think part of it, it showed us what we're capable of, but it also, I think, developed a sense of like in our own strength. Where we kind of became each other's dysfunctional higher power, kind of like.
And I heard somebody say this. It meant a lot. It made a lot of sense to me that if you make money or a person your God, God will show you that that person cannot be your God, and he'll give you the person, he'll give you the money, he'll give you all the riches, and he'll show you. And I feel like that's something that we lived through, is if we just lean on each other for strength, if we lean on the money we can make for strength, God will give it to you. And he'll let you learn the hard way. And I feel like we are definitely a testament to that.
And hearing you guys describe that, and what comes to mind is you had to humble yourself. Not only to God, but also to your spouse, you know, and because he was trying to guide and lead the family in a certain direction. And sometimes, and I'm a strong woman too, you know, when you've kind of been out there and doing things on your own and you haven't had someone else to rely on, and then you come into a relationship with someone that you can rely on, there's a shift that has to occur. And it's not always easy. We struggle with it. You know, and, you know, sometimes when like you said earlier, I know better, this is that and whatever. But when you do have that partner that comes into play and they're now willing to step into that role, you then have to humble yourself and allow yourself to grow beyond where you are and to not be fearful, to not operate from a place of pride, as you described earlier. But as I'm listening to you share, that's what comes to mind to me, was a humbling experience that occurred in that moment that created such a massive shift in your life that is it's part of what allowed you to be who you are now. Because God gives us, you know, we can make choices. We can either choose to follow him or choose not to. Just like you said, he'll give you the money, but he also will take it away. The key is, how are you going to manage that? How are you going to handle that? What are you going to do with it? So in that moment, you know, it's like, what are you going to do with this season that God has brought before you at that time, the season of change, the season of letting go? And you guys have done, from what I can see, some amazing things with that opportunity for change and shift and being able to humble and shifting the power from, maybe it was tug of war at the time, to actually following, you know, your husband's lead. And now he's, you know, leading the family. That's what I'm hearing. I could be completely off a little bit, but that's kind of what I'm hearing, that because it looks totally different now from what it even looked like when we first started interacting. Mm-hmm. And that's 5 years ago. Yeah. So I see it and I appreciate it. And I, you know, for me, I've been married before, I've gone through a divorce, and I can honestly say now some of the things that I did and how I communicated with my husband at that time was not right. You know, but I didn't know. And, you know, I didn't know that I was emasculating him by how I was communicating, maybe not even so much what I was saying, but how I said it and all those things. So I, you know, so I've taken that opportunity to kind of self-evaluate. What would I do different next time? And so seeing it, hearing what you're sharing and seeing what, you know, God has been able to do, because sometimes you just got to watch what is God doing and who are you giving the credit to? That in and of itself is power. It's very powerful. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if there's anyone else that finds himself at a place where you're feeling like you're off balance, or you feel like you're relying on the wrong things to get you through, you know, this is their testimony is an example of how God can come in your life. If you just open your heart and your mind and allow him to speak to you, you receive what he's saying and you actually act on it. Because that's one thing, you hear it, but then you don't act on it. So, you know, can you kind of speak to, you know, share with our people, you know, how you realize how that was where you are right now is the best place for you to be. I know I'm kind of jumping around, but that's.
How do we realize that where we're at right now is where we need to be? Is that the question?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, again, I'm a broken record here, but you know, let me just tell you a few things that were revelations to me about God's promises. And so the week that we chose to get sober, again, we moved out of where we were living and moved in with her parents just to get rid of our environment because we knew we couldn't be there. And I'm going to try and like fast track through my testimony so you understand the power behind what happened that same week. But my dad was a drug dealer and a violent biker. Never met the guy. And he had many, many kids all across the town where I lived that I knew existed, but I didn't know their names. But I always wanted to know who they were. I always wanted to know my siblings. And I knew I had a bunch of them, but I didn't know where they were. Mm-hmm. And it's something that tortured me my whole life. And I knew that my mom had a kid, or that my dad had a child that was 6 months younger than me, because my mom went to court one time and his lawyer said something when she was pregnant with me and dropped the bomb that he had gotten someone else pregnant. So I knew that I had someone that was very close to me in my age, my whole life, and I never knew who they were. And the week I got sober, I get a message on Facebook from this girl named Allison. And she says, "Hey, I just did ancestry.com and you're my brother." Wow. And that was the week I got sober. In fact, the first time I met her, she came over to my in-law's house because we were in the week of us getting sober. And I said, "Let's meet." And now me and her are like, we look alike. I've never had a sibling that I felt like I looked like. Yeah. We have like the same little quirks about us. There's so many crazy things that have been fulfilled with that relationship that I just desired my whole life. Yeah. And God didn't give it to me. He could have given it. He could have had her reach out to me a week before that.
Right.
Right. But no, he waited and he protected that relationship. Cause if I would have met her a week before I did, I would have said, "Hey, let's meet at this bar," you know? And so I think we look for, you know, this is a business type conversation. And I'm talking about how prayer can, how God will bless us through his promises through prayer. That was not a financial blessing that I got from that mm-hmm. commitment. You know, it was through God's grace through faith that worked, that God gave me grace and I had faith that he would give me the strength to stay sober. And he said, "Here's a gift. Here's your sister."
Yeah.
And wow. It's like, me and her are as close as any. We'll talk on the phone for 2 hours every week. She's coming down here to Colorado next week. And all I talk to her about now is Jesus. And she doesn't know about him. And she wants to hear about him. And now I get to lead her.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a blessing.
Sorry. Now that's not money.
Yeah.
That's not monetary.
Right.
It's better, yes. Right? It's a connection like you can't buy. And so I would just, again, I'm a broken record here. Pray, like commit to, if you've lost your faith over the years, and if you feel like you and your husband just aren't on the same page spiritually, lead him, push him. You know, he wants to be that.
Yeah.
All of us husbands want to be a spiritual leader. We all have this image of the husband we want to be. And I'm telling you, if your husband likes you, most husbands like their wives at least,
yeah,
he will definitely be led by you to be that husband.
Yeah. Well, I know the one thing I would also say is that if he won't pray with you, you pray for him. Mm. You know, because you do sometimes have spouses that's just sure. Not ready. It's just not ready. So you pray for yourself and you pray for him as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
Josiah, thank you so much for being with us today. I know that a lot of our listeners are going to be super encouraged by what you shared and also just in seeing the transformation that's in you. I think sometimes people, you know, see what's happening in our life today and like God is blessing our life and we share happy, shiny things, but not everybody knows like what happened behind the scenes and it wasn't that long ago. Yeah. And so one of the things I want people to know is how dramatically your life can change when you commit to making changes that are in alignment with what, you know, with what God has for you or getting into prayer and praying together. And we're just seeing like confirmation after confirmation that God is who he says he is. And the more that we seek him together, the closer we come together.
Yeah.
The more aligned that we are and like incredible things happening in our life. But it all started with that praying together and getting on our knees and being humble enough together. Okay. On that note of humility, before we wrap up, Josiah told me something the other day that I was like, it was very humbling for me. I want you to share this with our listeners. It was, you told me that whenever you're feeling a certain way, there's something that you do. And I was like, what? Okay. Can you tell our listeners?
Like pity party stuff?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So this is something that really works. So whenever I find myself falling into this hole of pity party, of the woe is me's, and when I feel like someone is not reaching my expectations, specifically Andrea, if you know it's Father's Day, or if there's a woman watching, if it's Mother's Day, and you didn't get the gift you wanted, or you're not being treated like the queen you deserve to be treated like, that in this example, you know, sometimes you'll do the dishes a little louder, you know,
right.
You'll slam the door a little harder, or you'll catch yourself in your head saying, woe is me's. And honestly, when I was drinking, that was a big fuel for my drinking was mm-hmm. this woe is me type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was through getting sober that I learned now, and this is a practice I put into place, is whenever I catch myself going in those patterns of woe is me, it is now the trigger for me to serve my wife or to serve my family, because sometimes my wife isn't available and I'm just woe is me and it all by myself.
Right.
So now it's like, I know that if I don't do anything with that, if I just stick in that mindset, it just leads to destruction.
Yeah.
Right. So now I have turned that, and you know, in my world, the enemy is using that to try and destroy something. So not only it's not something that just happens, right? It's something that I feel like, okay, there's a spiritual entity that is trying to destroy something that is good. That means something good is on the horizon.
That's right.
And I can choose to give into evil, or I can choose to give into the light. And so whenever I'm in that woe is me, they didn't do what I wanted them to do, I say, okay, do the dishes need to be done? Is there laundry that needs to be done? Does the lawn need to be mowed? Is there something I can do to serve my spouse? Maybe I should go rub her shoulders right now. And I get straight into service mode whenever I'm into self, this self cycle of boo-hoos. It's time for me to serve.
Yeah.
And I put that into practice, and it has been a huge game changer, because it's like you get exactly what you're seeking.
Yeah.
Right. Especially if you can serve the person that you're disappointed in at that moment, that person starts serving you back. They start appreciating what you're doing for them. So, and then you don't even have to talk about anything. You don't even have to say, you know what? You didn't do what I wanted you to do. Dinner sucked. All right. It's Father's Day. You know what I mean? I don't even like that restaurant. Why did we go there?
Right.
You don't have to talk about nothing, because now your wife's making out with you. Or she's going to make you dessert later, or and everything changes. And so again, what is that? That is humility, right? Yeah. That is taking you thinking about yourself and start thinking and caring for someone else. So again, humility is always the foundation of all success, in my opinion.
I love that. Yeah. I do. Some great advice with single Brenda.
Yeah, he tells me one day, he's like, you know, whenever I feel like you're like I'm feeling sorry for myself because you're not paying enough attention to me, he's like, I will usually come and give you a foot rub. And I'm like, babe, you give me a lot of foot rubs.
It's true.
Oh my goodness.
That says more about me than her, right? That's like how needy I am. It's not right. About her, right? It's, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's, you know, that's the thing is, like, when we want something good, mm-hmm. we've got to put good out there, you know? And I think that's true. I think that's true in our relationships, is that if we want our husband to be an encourager of us, to be a cheerleader for us, then we need to be a cheerleader for them. We need to be an encourager for them.
But, you know, I learned this practice from, I did a remodel on a house here in Salida, and the guy who bought the house just made my life like terrible. He complained about every little thing. I had like six lights in the house burn out, and he threatened to sue me for them. It was insane. And I felt like this person that I sold this house to started becoming like my adversary. And I did as much as I could do to try and make the situation right, but they kept just poking at me and poking at me. And I found myself thinking about it all the time. It was controlling my thoughts, and I'd get in a bad mood. And I think if you've been in real estate, you've had a contractor do that to you, you've had somebody treat you wrong, and you know you did everything right. And then you get this, it makes you extra angry when you know you did everything right and they're treating you poorly. And this guy started controlling my thoughts all the time. And I eventually said, something's got to change about me, because I can't change him.
That's right.
So I said, every time this guy pops in my mind, I'm going to pray a blessing upon him and his family. And that's what started it. I started finding triggers that were all done by myself in my own mind. And I said, okay, instead of this being a trigger for negative, I'm going to turn this into a trigger for good.
Yeah.
And so I started praying a blessing upon this guy. Yeah. And it was like it wiped it away. I remember running into him in public. We were going, like, walking by the same restaurant in our little town, and I felt nothing awkward at all. He felt awkward. Mm-hmm. But I said, hey, how's it going, man? Good to see you. You know what I mean? And the last time we communicated was him threatening to sue me. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like, I had released this. I'd released this man because I had forgiven him. And I'd been praying blessings upon him for weeks, almost every day. You know what I mean? And so I was like, okay, if that works with that, I can take that. It'll work with my marriage. It'll work with my wife. It'll work with my kids. And so that's where I learned that.
That's wisdom right there. That's great. Well, it's been great chatting with you guys today and having you share your journey with us. I'm taking notes in my head, because one day I'm going to be you. Okay. Married again with an amazing spouse and full alignment. You know, you claim it, it's yours. So I'm super, super excited for what's to come. But I'm excited for you too. And thank you for sharing with some of our sisters on here who may have had some of the same questions. How do I get my spouse involved or connect or reconnect with my spouse? And you just gave them so many gems and so many nuggets that hopefully they can apply actually in their own life. So thank you both for being vulnerable and sharing.
Yes. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Brenda, for hosting this conversation with us. And if somebody wants to connect with you or would like to know more about how to work with you, how do they find you?
You can find me on my Facebook page, which is my name, BrendaAStroud.com. Not .com, but Brenda A. Stroud on Facebook, as well as on Instagram. And I also have a website, BrendaStroud.com, and email address, which is hello@BrendaStroud.com. So everything is Brenda Stroud.
All right. Thank you. Well, sisters, if you are listening to this and something on the show today resonated with you, would you let us know? Give us a review on the podcast. If this resonates with someone that you're chatting with in your life, would you share it with them? Encourage your sisters by sharing the podcast with them as well. If you're a woman entrepreneur, you can join my Facebook group, Bold Women in Business Sisterhood, where I share strategies on how to step into your own clarity and confidence. And I want to encourage you, I've got a free workshop coming up. If you'd like to learn more from me, you can grab a spot at AndreaEngstrom.com. All right. Well, thank you, Brenda, so much for being with us.
Thank you guys for having me. And thank you for coming, Josiah. He's my favorite.
Thank you so much.
He's my favorite too.
I know.
All right.
I share him with you. Uh-huh.
Okay. Thank you. Well, sisters, till next time, I'm Andrea Engstrom, and we are your sisters in business, encouraging you to take action on your dreams. Show up to your life with power and authenticity. Be bold, be tenacious, and make it happen.
Bye.
Bye-bye.